in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
Praise God. Acts chapter 1 verse 14. Acts chapter 1 verse 14. Why are we meeting every day? It's very scriptural. Every day meeting. Do you know the early church met every day? I'll show you. It's in the Bible. It says, this all continued with one accord. Remember when Jesus ascended, he said, go and tarry in Jerusalem. For 10 days, they were tarrying there. Until ye be endued with power from on high. Now listen. Jesus appeared to 500 disciples at once and gave them that instruction. Yet only 120 obeyed. The resurrected Christ, too, in his glory, gave instruction. And yet people still disobeyed. You know, some people think that when I see Jesus, have an encounter with Jesus, maybe open vision or something, I see Jesus, then I will be an obedient child of God. See, if you are not obeying his word that you are reading in the Bible, if you are not obeying the one we are preaching to you, I tell you, even if Jesus appears to you 10 times, you will still not obey what he tells you. That's the truth. He appeared to them. He said, go and wait in Jerusalem 10 days. Only 120 out of 500 obeyed. Where are the remaining? What's the balance? Where are the remaining 380? They've gone back to their life, gone back to their business and other things. They got busy. They got carried away. They've gone back to the world. Only what? 120. So, the church would have started in the upper room with 500 brethren if they had all obeyed. It would have been 500 people that God filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost if all of them had obeyed. Never joke with divine instructions. Never joke with divine instruction. Only 120. And this 120, this all continued. The key word there is continue. You see, it takes a continuity for you to enter some realms and dimensions in the spirit. What changes your life is not what you do occasionally. It's what you do continually. It's what you do consistently. Are you getting me? Persistence and consistency. You have to press. You have to press. Paul say, I press towards the prize of the mark of the high calling. There is a pressing prize in the spirit to pay, to enter into some realms, to break into some things. Are you getting me? Consistency. They continued. In Luke 18 verse 1, Jesus said, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray. He didn't say once in a while. He said men ought always to pray and not to give up. Are you getting me? That means there must be some element of consistency to your prayer life. There must be that element of continuity. Am I communicating? There must be a rhythm. There must be a rhythm. There must be a rhythm. Go back to that Acts 1 verse 14. It says, this all, that's the 120 that obeyed Jesus' instruction, continue with one accord. That's corporate prayer. There is a place for personal private prayer. And we expected you to do that before we come corporately to round up. Let this not be the only time you pray during fast. This one is like the rounding off prayer. Are you getting me? They came corporately to pray. There are things God can only do when we meet corporately to pray like this. Are you getting me? Very important. There are some blessings and graces and anointings that can only come upon you in corporate meetings. No matter how you press into God on your own, you will never enter into those things. Are you getting me? So there is a place for personal intimacy with God, but you should never neglect corporate meetings. Never. Never. Because there are some things that's the only place you get. There are some things God can only release in corporate meetings. Are you getting me? He said, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren. Ah, Reverend, you are welcome again, sir. See, Reverend has been coming, you know. He was here on Sunday from TCNN. He came yesterday. Now he's here again today. Eh? He came from TCNN. Some of you, your house is just here. And your body, they heavy you to come. He says, this all continued in one accord. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. He says, it's like the oil upon the head of Aaron, the high priest, coursing through his beard, down through his garment. He says, for it's like the dew of Hermon. Okay? It's like the dew of Hermon. And you know, if you go to Israel, you will see Mount Zion. Am I communicating? It's like the dew of Hermon upon Mount Zion. If you see the physical Mount Zion, even though spiritually speaking, Mount Zion is prophetic of the church. Am I communicating? But the physical Mount Zion in Israel, those that go there, they will tell you that it's always wet with dew. You see, wet with dew. So God is likening the anointing upon Aaron, the high priest, to the dew on Mount Zion or Mount Hermon. Am I communicating? Shalabakataya. And then the end is a for dear. Give me Psalm 133. That's what I'm quoting. Thank you. As a dew of Hermon, as a dew, that Hermon and Mount Zion is the same thing, okay? Descended upon the mountains of Zion for dear. The key word is what? Dear. Where? Dear. Where? Dear. Where? Dear. He's talking of the venue of the corporate meeting, corporate gatherings. He commanded the blessing. Ye are come unto Mount Zion, the church, the ecclesia, the gathering of the called out ones, the gathering of believers, the gathering of the saints. Am I communicating? The gathering, you see, when we gather like that, it provokes the release of the corporate anointing, the corporate blessing, the corporate grace. For there God commanded the blessing, not in your house, not when you are praying on your own. For there, so location matters, corporate meetings matters a great deal. For there, Jesus said they should go and tarry in the upper room until the Holy Ghost come, until they are clothed with power from on high. If they went to, if you stay in your house, will you have that experience? Will you receive the Holy Ghost in your house? When you say, okay, me, I'm going to my shop, will you receive it there? It has to be obedience. You have to obey that instruction and be where you are supposed to be. There are times that angels come with some people's blessing to the meeting that the people are supposed to attend. The angels are in attendance to bless them, but they themselves, they are at home. They are watching football in Nanja Bed Shop viewing center. They are watching movie, African Magic series. They are not around. And this is what they've been praying for years. The time has come. Heaven have released answer. Angels have brought the blessing. But the person that the angel was sent to is not where he's supposed to be at that point for the angel to bless. Is it that? So they miss their package. They miss out. They have to wait for another season again. And we don't know how long. You see that? These are some of the dangers of missing corporate meeting. When the apostles were threatened, Peter and John, that they should not preach again, they returned to their own company. Aha, it's corporate gathering, corporate prayer meeting. Then they lifted up their voice and then they prayed. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost again. And then they spake the word of God with boldness. And then with great power gave he the apostle witness of the resurrection. Great grace was released upon them. That great grace and great power came from where? The corporate prayer meeting. It was activated through that corporate. See, you enter things in meetings like this. If God should open your eyes, you change levels. You move up higher in grace, in power, in authority, in corporate meetings like this. Are you getting me? Acts 1:14. This all continued. Acts 1:14. For how many days did they continue? 10 days. 10 days and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus. You see, even Jesus' mother was in attendance. You see? And with his brethren. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, was among the 120 in the upper room that had the experience. So she spoke in tongues. I don't know why some church denomination that honor Mary, I don't know why some say they don't believe in speaking in tongues. I used to show them this scripture that even Mary spoke in tongues. I didn't write Bible. Look at it. Look at it now. Look, or you read them yourself. You see, our church, we don't believe in speaking in tongues. But you honor Mary. Look at it. Mary spoke in tongues. So if the Mary you honor speaks in tongues, spoke in tongues. She was so drunk in the spirit self. They were staggering like drunkard like this. Some the people that were watching them say, these people are drunk with new wine. It was that serious. Mary spoke in tongues. So what problem do you have with speaking in tongues? Except you don't honor Mary. If you honor Mary truly, you will follow her footstep again. She spoke in tongues, me too. Praise God. Maleko Borakataya. Embrekedekedekedekedekede. You know, I love the Catholics, so they are my friends. Just like if Pope knew how many people we have gotten filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, maybe they will come and arrest me one of these days. But no, you won't arrest me now. You know, there is a charismatic sect. Have you? The charismatic believe in speaking in tongues. Maybe they saw that Mary spoke in tongues. Then they changed their mind. Now, give me Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Acts 2, verse 46. Acts 2, verse 46. It's good to know the Bible for yourself. Oh. I'm telling you the truth. Acts 2:46. And they continuing daily. Mark that word. Continuing daily with one accord. Continue daily. This is the early church.
continue daily in one accord. That's corporate meeting. Corporate fellowship. In one accord. In the temple. That's in church. We don't know for how long. Continue daily in one accord in the temple. And then breaking bread from house to house. That is like a house church, home cell fellowship and all of that. Breaking bread, that's communion. You see that? Communion. Some people say before you get communion, okay, let me not enter something. Look at it there. They were taking communion every day, house to house. He said, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. That's love feast. You see, plenty things there. You see, breaking of bread, that's communion. Number two, you see them eating their meat. That's love feast. But I want you to see, my emphasis there is that continuing daily in one accord in the temple. They were holding service every day. Meeting, corporate meeting every day. In church, in the temple. Praise God. I just want to show you that what we are doing is very scriptural. Let me show you another verse. It's in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Acts chapter 19, verse 6. Look at Apostle Paul in Ephesus. Look at Apostle Paul. After he preached to those people that knew only John's baptism, Acts 19, verse 6. When Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. So, one of the ways we minister the Holy Spirit to people is by laying on of hands. When he laid his hands on them, there were 12 men. Okay? The Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Next verse. And all the men were about 12. We don't know how many women. We don't even know how many children. Next verse. And he went into the synagogue, equivalent of church today. He went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Verse 9. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of the way before the multitude, it departed from them and separated the disciples. Praise God. That's those that believed. Okay? Disputing daily. After he separated the disciples, he took them to one school of Tyrannus. And he was disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Daily. My emphasis there is daily. Apostle Paul was holding daily meeting with those disciples. Daily. For how long? Next verse. Let's see for how long. And this continued by the space of 2 years. Just imagine, I just wake up one day. We are holding everyday meeting. Everyday meeting for 2 years. How many people will still come? That was what Paul did though. Look at it there. We should get used to long, long meetings. Maybe the next one will be 30 days. Yes, now. Did they look me? Even if we do 30 days, have we beaten Apostle Paul's record of 2 years? Somebody should help me count. How many days are in 2 years? 365 plus what? 65? 1/4. Say leap year or not leap year. Just calculate for me. How many days are there? You see? 2 years. So that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greek. Everybody heard. Oh, they fill everywhere with the word of God. Next verse. Paul continued preaching. And God wrought. And God wrought. Can you see? And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. But before then, watch, he was holding daily. See, there are some things, some dimension you will not enter until you mount pressure.
until you press in the spirit, until you are willing to make some sacrifice. Am I communicating? It may not be convenient for your flesh to enter into some dimension. You must continue. You must continue. You must continue. Am I communicating? The things of the spirit require continuity. They require continuity. Not occasionally. One leg in, today you are dead. Tomorrow you are... There has to be consistency and what? Continuity. Today, you pray 7 hours. Tomorrow, you don't pray at all. Next tomorrow, you do 10 hours. For the next 1 week, you are on break, holiday. No. There has to be what? Consistency to the things of the Spirit. Consistency. Paul was able to break into this realm of special miracle because of his consistency. Continuity. He continued for 2 whole years. 2 years. And if you later read 1 Corinthians 15:32, Paul said, I fought with beasts at Ephesus. And it was the church at Ephesus, he wrote and said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. And I have shown you from the scripture that those beasts there were not physical wild animals. Mm-mm. It's demons. So he said, I fought with beasts. He fought. He wrestled. In other words, he was interceding. He was engaging in prayer and intercession for the city of Ephesus. Ephesus was a very wicked city. So in the daytime, he will teach. In the night, he will wrestle in prayer. In the day, he will teach. In the night, he continued like that for 2 years. And what happened? Revival broke out in Ephesus. Special miracles. Deliverances. Until the school of magic closed down. Why? All the students got born again. They burnt their books. Expensive magic textbooks. Are you seeing this? Somebody say, I receive grace for continuity. I receive grace for continuity. Daily, as I pray, as I fast, as I feed on the word, as I preach the gospel, I receive grace for intense spirituality or spiritual intensity. I receive grace for consistency. Yes, this is how you break out into things. Oh. This is how you break into things. Am I communicating? This is how you break into things. Malakosovrahatia. There has to be consistency. At least I've shown you enough scripture to prove that daily meetings that we are doing is very scriptural, right? And guess what? Is whenever God is about to shift you, when God is about to break you into some dimension, when you want to break into something new, it will require this kind of thing. You want to shift into another realm, a higher realm. It requires this kind of meeting. Am I communicating? Pray in tongues. Lakido so Fred. Jele pora sa palata kaprakata. Eliko vrata tata. Mande kepo laga bagadaya. Abaka tuza balatai. Brantos keti. Rokopotila angroskoto. Jelito sefeleteni. Agrandos kopoligi brakatai. Agabalaga brakataya. Supula palatia. Jokopotekido kapalatia. In the name of Jesus. Leviticus 6 verse 12. It says, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. The priest shall burn wood on it every morning. Somebody say every morning. and lay the burnt offering, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offering. Verse 13. It says, and the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, it shall never go out. Go back to verse 12. So you see that the priest is responsible for keeping the fire burning. The priest, it is his responsibility to ensure that the fire upon the altar does not go out. Am I communicating? And one of the characteristics of fire, we said when we did Church on Fire series, is that the constant tendency of any burning fire is to go out. So you must fight that tendency through priestly what? Practices. Priestly duties. As a priest of God, you are on duty 24/7. You are on call. You are on call duties 24/7. There are certain priestly demands and disciplines that you must embrace to keep the fire burning. Am I communicating? You must be consistent. You must continue doing those things. You must not be weary. We don't go on holiday. Spiritual, see, never go on spiritual vacation. You know, in the physical, people go on vacation. Even school goes on vacation. School goes on holiday. School goes on break. People at that work, they normally give them leave, okay? 1 month, 6 weeks or so. They are entitled to break, right? Off, leave. But look up. When it comes to spiritual matters, you don't go on holiday. It's too risky. The Bible says, while men slept, they went on break. The enemy came and sought tares. The enemy will always wait for you to doze off spiritually. When you are at your lowest level, when you are sleeping spiritually, that's when it comes and strike. A lot of demonic attacks, spiritual attack that hits people, especially believers, Satan usually waits when they are spiritually asleep. Their fire is out. That's when he strikes, because he knows that they are most vulnerable at that point. Are you getting me? Even some people that want to do evil to believers, they go to native doctor, powerful native doctor, and then the native doctor check the person. Say, you want me to strike him for you? He say yes. You want him to destroy him, deal with him? He say yes. Say, Kai, not now. The native doctor say, Kai, he no go work now. Why? Because at that point, the guy, fire, he's seeing fire in the spirit. I told you, fire is our identity, but the guy is on fire. The person is on fire. So the native doctor knows that it's impossible for him to what? Successfully attack the person. Rather, the thing will backfire. He may be the one to die. So the native doctor will tell the person, say, let's monitor him. You see, that's demonic wisdom. Let's monitor him and know the best time to strike. So the native doctor will be monitoring. He'll be watching the fire when it's going down. Aha! When the thing is very low or it has died, now call the person. Come. This is the best time to shoot. This is the best time to shoot arrow, because at that point, fire is gone. The person is vulnerable to attacks. So they will now fire the arrow. The person is snoring on the bed. The two will just, oh, ah, my chest. They will start rushing the person to jute. You know, as a doctor, I notice that it's at night that most emergencies happen. Ah. You are a health worker, you will know that. Serious emergency. Nanaito. And you see the people. Say, he was fine, no? During the day, he was fine. He's just in the night. He just woke up from. I don't know whether he had a bad dream. He was just shouting my chest. They don't fire arrow. Don't go on holiday. Tell your neighbor, I'm not carrying you. Don't go on holiday spiritually. Never go on holiday. Be on priestly duty 24/7. Keep your fire burning. Am I communicating? Don't go on vacation. Don't go on breaks. We are priests of God. Have you heard of the Moravians? The Moravians? The Moravian revival. It was this scripture they used to. Some years ago, the Moravian, they did the longest prayer chain in history that lasted 100 years. A prayer chain that lasted, not 100 days, 100 years, the Moravians in Germany. And North Germany. The Moravians, they saw this scripture and then they based their 100 years prayer chain on it. That the fire upon the altar will never go out. You know what they did? They covenanted 2 to 3 people, one male, one female. 2 to 3 people will maintain 1 1-hour prayer watch throughout their lifetime on it. So they got at least 48 people. Huh? They got at least how many? 48. That's at least 2 to cover for 1 hour. Huh? For 24 hours round the clock. For instance, they can say, okay, JC Abila, your own, throughout your days on earth, you will be praying 3 to 4 p.m. every day. Then they will get another person to join him. Then for somebody else, your own is 5 to 6, as long as you are on this planet earth. That is your lifetime responsibility. Once that time reach, anywhere you are, you start praying. Are you getting me? So they were able to get 48 people plus to cover for the whole 24 hours, 2 per hour. And they prayed that way for 100 years. Somebody said, how is that possible? Yes, it's possible. What they did was that they got people to replace them before they died. Are you getting me? Why it's just like why Jesse is praying and he knows that his days is numbered to go and meet the master, he will now get somebody to replace him. So that the moment he is gone, the person continues from there without any break. That was what they did though. They were able to pray that thing for 100 years non-stop. Bam! You know what? The result of that, the heavens opened over that territory. Such that people will go there and be seeing angels ascending and descending. Not in the spirit, physically. They tore the heavens open. You know, prayer is important if you want to open the heavens. How did Jesus open the heavens over his life? It was through prayer. When he was being baptized, he was praying. The heavens were open. And the Holy Ghost descended like a dove. Are you getting me? The heavens open. A lot of angelic activities, revival. They were able to send out the Moravian because of this prayer watch. They were able to send out so many missionaries across the world. Am I communicating? They were able to write hymns. A lot of hymns we sing today is a product of their prayer. It came from that revival. 100. There was a time we did one prayer watch. For how long? I forgot. How many weeks like that? We'll soon do another one. Even though our own no go reach 100 years. We are going to look for volunteers. It's not by force. We just need 48 people. We don't need too much people. Praise God. Don't worry, I will let you know when. It is so powerful. See, anytime God is about to do anything on earth, he will start moving people to pray. Why? So that through that prayer, you see, through prayer, you give God the legal permission to do anything he wants to do on earth. Or else, it will be illegal entry. I told you, God does nothing on earth except with man's permission and partnership. Why? Because this earth is under man's jurisdiction. Though God created heaven and earth, but he carried the earth and handed it over to man and gave man dominion. And from that day henceforth, even God, who is subject, you know, God is a very law-abiding citizen. In his sovereignty, he can do anything on earth. But according to his principle, he will not just do anything on earth. He has to follow his word. Are you seeing that? That's why I say prayer is giving God earthly permission for heavenly intervention. Are you seeing that? Very important. John Wesley will tell you, it seems as if God will do nothing except a man prays. E.W. Kenyon came and said, now we know that God will do nothing on earth except a man prays. Why? Because the earth is under man's jurisdiction. I like to use the illustration of landlord-tenant. By the time you pay your rent and had agreement for the next 1 year with your landlord, with a lawyer, and then, do you know from that day henceforth, your landlord has no legal right to just barge into your house without being permitted or invited. Even though he was the one that built the house. But based on landlord-tenant agreement, he's not supposed to enter. If he does, it's illegal entry and you have the right to sue him to court. Am I communicating? It's a similar principle. You might say, but he's the owner of the house now. Mm-mm. The house has been leased to you for that period of agreement. Do you know God leased the earth to man for 6,000 years? And that 6,000 years has not expired. It will expire at the millennial reign of Christ, where God will collect back the earth, the ownership of the earth. Jesus will reign on the earth for 1,000 years. That's at his second coming. But before then, the tenancy is still on. Tell your neighbor, it's still on. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. Give me verse 5. It says, ye also, as lively stones or living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up what? Spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So we are priests of God, and the house of God is a spiritual house, and every believer has been ordained a king and a priest unto God, and we are ordained to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Not physical sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. In Revelation 1, 5 and 6, it says he has made us priests, kings and priests unto God. Revelation 5, 10, he has made us kings and priests. And we are to offer what? Spiritual sacrifices. Now, give me that 1 Peter 2, verse 9. That's in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Let me tell you no more. I am a priest of God. I'm a God-ordained priest. And I'm ordained to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God. I say, we are talking about priesthood, right? It's part of our priestly responsibility. It's part of our priestly duties, priestly demand, priestly practices to offer up spiritual sacrifice. He said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his what? Marvelous light. He says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That's a kingdom of priests. It has always been God's desire, right from the Old Testament, to have a kingdom of priests. Am I communicating? He has made us kings and priests. But like I've taught before, when we did a series called Priesthood and Sacrifice, that our priestly ministry comes before our kingly ministry. Our priestly ministry is what determines our priestly function. Our priestly ministry is where we gain authority to function as kings. Are you getting this? So our kingly authority, our kingly power is derived from what? Our priesthood. It's rooted in our priesthood. If you fail at the level of priesthood, then you will malfunction as a king. Are you getting it? Where the word of a king is, there is power. But the power is derived through priesthood. Praise God. We offer up spiritual sacrifices. Now let's look at some of these spiritual sacrifices that we offer as priests that makes us this powerful. That's the secret of our authority and power. Those spiritual sacrifices. Number one, the sacrifice of praise and worship. The sacrifice of praise and worship. Give me Hebrews 13 verse 15. Hebrews 13 15. The sacrifice of what? Praise and worship. He said, by him, therefore, let us offer what? Let us offer, help me. The sacrifice of what? Praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now look up. Do you know the temple in the Old Testament? The tabernacle of Moses, tabernacle of witness, the temple of Solomon, and the temples that have been built at different dispensations in the Old Testament. The primary purpose of the temple is for worship and praise. Is to offer up sacrifice in worship and praise to God. That's the primary purpose of the temple. And guess what? The Bible says you are the temple of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. So God expects that from this temple called your body, you should be all offering what? Sacrifice of what? Your praise. Sacrifice of worship. You see, the problem is, look up. Many people, they praise, Christians, they praise without this understanding. Hey, my God is good. Everything are double. Yes. They do it without understanding. Do you understand what you are doing? Are you aware that you are offering a spiritual sacrifice? See, you need to learn to praise and worship God with the right understanding, with a consciousness of what you were doing. Are you getting me? It's called ministering to the Lord. As a priest, you learn to minister to the Lord in worship. You learn to minister to the Lord in praise. Do it with understanding. Do it with revelation. That's why Psalm 47, it says, sing ye praises with understanding. Because there are people that are singing praises without understanding. Sing ye praises with understanding. Are you getting this? Understand that this is priesthood. Understand that this is part of our otumokpo. This is the things we do. Are you getting me? The Bible talked about the Levites, 2 Chronicles 5:13, as they began to worship God, as they sang with instrument, there was unity, united worship. They were united in their mind, united in their spirit, united in their heart. They made one sound, not two sounds, to be heard in worshiping the Lord. The Bible said, the glory of God, the Shekinah, feel everywhere through the priesthood of worship, united worship. They provoked the manifestation of the glory of God. Priesthood of worship. Are you getting me? If you notice on Sunday during miracle service, they were singing a song. Then I told the backup singers not to sing. And then I was singing alone. Now, I was not singing. I was ministering to the Lord in worship. There's a difference. I'm not just singing. I am ministering. I was singing, worshiping God with the understanding that I am offering up spiritual sacrifices. Are you getting me? I'm offering up spiritual sacrifices as a priest. Priesthood. And that is a major secret of power that many people don't know. It's just that many don't do it with the right understanding and consciousness. So they are doing it religiously. Are you listening? There is a difference. Give me Acts chapter 13 verse 2. Acts 13 verse 2. Give me 13, not 2. Acts 13, 2. Acts 13. And they ministered to the Lord. This was a ministers' conference in Antioch. They ministered to the Lord and fasted, just like we are fasting now. They ministered to the Lord. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul." You see, the voice of God came to them, giving them direction, giving instruction to commission them into the apostolic ministry. Give me this in Amplified. Look at the meaning of that minister to the Lord. While they were worshiping the Lord. Can you see that? So anytime you are worshiping, you are ministering to the Lord. That's why I hardly can worship without lifting up my hands. It's not punishment. Because I have understanding that I'm offering sacrifice. David the psalmist said, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as an incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." The lifting up of my hands in worship is equivalent to that evening system of sacrifice, evening offering, evening oblation they had in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we don't offer animal sacrifice again. It's a sacrifice of our praise and then the sacrifice of our worship, among other things. So you need to do this thing with the right consciousness, with the right understanding. Anytime you are praising God, worshiping Him, know that you are what? Offering what? Spiritual sacrifice as a priest unto God. One day I was worshiping God as a, I think I was doing housemanship 2012 or 2011, for either 2012 or 2011. I was just worshiping God. I sing praises to your name, oh Lord. Praises to Terimakama. I was just worshiping God. And then I was feeling my spirit leaving my body. I was feeling my spirit rising up like that. It's like an out-of-body experience. As I just continue worshiping, pew, I was caught up to the throne room of heaven. I was caught up in worship. And I had an encounter with God that day. Are you listening? Some of you don't know how powerful this is. On you, worship time. You're on your phone. You saw, some will even sit down and cross their hands like, "Hey, do me papa come, Joe. Let me be this one." You don't know. Some people don't even come during praise and worship time to church. You don't know what you are missing. Your life will be dry. How can you walk in the anointing? How can you walk in power when you don't know worship? You don't know how to praise God. Give me Psalm 141 verse 2. Psalm 141 verse 2. He said, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as an incense." I'm teaching you part of our spiritual sacrifice that we offer as priests of God. That is a secret of our kingly dominion, kingly authority, kingly power. "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense." Can you see that? "And the lifting up of my hands as what? The evening sacrifice." When do you lift up your hands? Worship. Give me 1 Timothy 2 verse 8. Very clear there. 1 Timothy 2 verse 8. Look at what Paul said. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, comma, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. So let me ask you a question. Which kind of prayer do you pray? Lifting up holy hands. Prayer of worship. Simple. In context, he's talking of the prayer of worship. It's priesthood. Go back to Psalm 141 now, verse 2. He said, "Let my prayer." So what he was saying is that, okay, Deuteronomy 33. Let me show you something. Deuteronomy 33. Shalabakaso Lagada. We'll continue. I have like okay. No need to tell you how many. But we'll look at only one today. The sacrifice of praise and worship. Am I communicating? He says, let... Okay, let me get that scripture and then we'll take off from there. 33. Deuteronomy 33 verse 10. Give me verse 10. Deuteronomy 33, 10. Now, this is Moses, the man of God, talking about Levi. Levi is a tribe of priests, Levitical priesthood, right? Is the tribe God appointed and ordained into priesthood. He said, they shall teach Jacob thy judgments. So the priests have a teaching ministry. He says, and Israel thy law. Then he said, they shall put incense before thee. Remember, David said, let my prayer be set forth before thee as an incense. The incense is like a fragrant thing. You see them like this. Have you seen some priests doing that thing? Some Catholic priests moving around like that, with that incense like that. What David is saying is that, what, you know, the Old Testament is a shadow. The New Testament is a substance. He said, what was foreshadowed, what this burning of incense by the priest foreshadowed in the New Testament is prayer. Is prayer. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as an incense. Anytime you are praying, tomorrow I will talk about the priesthood of prayer. You are offering incense to God. Are you getting me? Let my prayer be set forth before thee as an incense. He said, the priest, they shall put incense before thee, whole burnt sacrifice upon thy altar. You see another rule for them of the priest there, another rule, which is offering what? Sacrifice. That's what David meant when he says, let my prayer be set forth before thee as an incense, and then the lifting up of my hands as what? The evening sacrifice. So the equivalent of offering the burnt sacrifice is what you are doing when you are worshiping God in the New Testament. You are offering sacrifice of praise through what? The fruit of our lips. The calf. You are rendering the calf. Calf is the animal for sacrifice. You are rendering the calf of your lips. Am I communicating? I want you to understand this, so that the next time you are worshiping God, you will worship differently. You will not worship religiously. The next time you are praising God, you will do it with what? Revelation. And you will do it with what? Understanding. Praise God. Psalm 107 verse 22. Psalm 107 verse 22. Psalm 107 verse 22. It says, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Can you see that? Even thanksgiving is a sacrifice. It's part of our spiritual sacrifice. Praise and thanksgiving. Let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare thy works with what? Rejoice. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Can you just lift up your hands and worship? Offer unto him the sacrifice of praise. With this understanding, give me Psalm 47. Psalm 47. You know you are a priest of God. And what you are doing is very spiritual. It has a spiritual... See, lifting up hand is not punishment. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. Your hands are your connectors to the realm of the spirit. So when you lift up your hands in worship, you easily connect to the spirit realm. 47 verse 6, Psalm 47 verse 6. It says, sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. Verse 7. This is where I'm going. He said, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. Which understanding? Understanding of his word. Understanding of your priesthood. Understanding that this praise you are singing, you are offering what? Spiritual sacrifice, which is equivalent to the evening oblation they had in the Old Testament. And there is so much enormous power that it generates in the realm of the spirit. There was a battle.
this is how to win battles. Hey, he said, as they began to sing and to praise, as they were offering the sacrifice, spiritual sacrifice of their praise and worship, the Lord set ambushment against the children of Ammon, against Monseah, against Moab, and they were discomfited. Spiritual forces were activated in their favor. Are you listening? Paul and Silas, they put them in Philippian jail. They prayed, got the note of victory, busted into praise. And as they began to praise, the Bible said, giddy, 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 power was released. How? Through the priesthood of sacrifice. Through the sacrifice, offering the spiritual sacrifice of praise. Their prayer and then praise. Are you seeing this? There is so much power. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. He said, for then the earth shall yield her increase. God, even our God, shall bless us. The blessing is an empowerment. Lift up your hands. Just go ahead and worship him. No special song. Worship him from your spirit. The Holy Ghost will give you the song that you are going to sing. The Holy Ghost will put the song in your heart that you are going to use to worship him. Do it as a priest. Now do it as a priest. Do it with the understanding of your priesthood, that you are not just singing. You are offering a spiritual sacrifice. You are offering a spiritual sacrifice. You are offering spiritual sacrifice. An incense in the realm of the spirit. You, as a priest of God, you are offering spiritual sacrifice. Now do it in other tongues. Do it in the spirit. Jelika pato sebila kapatai. Radiso feletina androsketia. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as an incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Ekomba lakida. He said, by him let us therefore offer the sacrifice of praise. Jesus gave God thanks, and dead Lazarus came back to life. Jesus gave God thanks, and two small fishes and five loaves of bread were supernaturally multiplied to feed that multitude. Why? Because Jesus understood the priesthood of offering praise and thanksgiving. He was offering spiritual sacrifice. Liko parase prideke palatai. This is how to activate the blessing. Kalatuze gedia. Rokopokoto brokotoko brakatai. Evegedigi brakatai. Kambalatosa. In the name of Jesus. Listen. Jesus was a spiritual man because he understood the spirituality of praise, that this is not just praise and thanksgiving. He is offering spiritual sacrifice. Let them sacrifice unto him with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. When Jesus was faced with acute shortage, here is a multitude. How will he feed them? Just two small fishes, five loaves of bread. Jesus took it as a priest and he gave thanks. He offered the sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise, and it was multiplied. Who multiplied it? How did it happen? I told you, priesthood of praise and worship, offering spiritual sacrifice, it activates spiritual forces. And then they fed the multitude. I had 12 baskets left over. Jesus stood in front of dead Lazarus' grave. He had been dead for 4 days. He was thinking. But Jesus understood that thanksgiving is spiritual. Anytime you offer praise, you are offering spiritual sacrifice. He that offered praise glorifies me. He said, let them sacrifice unto him with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. So Jesus offered that spiritual sacrifice. He said, Father, I thank you because you have heard me. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. Power, resurrection power was activated. And Lazarus jerked back to life. As you praise God, as you worship him, as you offer the sacrifice of your praise and worship, I prophesy every day. dead thing in your life. I don't know what has died in your life. I don't know your Lazarus that is dead. Anything called dead is checking back to life. I command everything dead to come back to life. I command it to come back to life. I decree an activation of the resurrection power of God. Listen, the greatest power God ever released is the power of resurrection. Nothing, there is nothing like it. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I prophesy by the power of the power that raised Jesus back to life, activated through your praise and worship. I decree and declare, you are making unstoppable progress by the power that raised Jesus back to life. Likoto barakata, you are going forward. You are emerging on top in the name of Jesus. By the power that raised Jesus back to life, you are coming out of every prison door, coming out of every captivity. My God is turning around your story, turning around your captivity in the name of Jesus. Anything dead in and around you, I command it to jerk back to life. I speak life. I speak life in the name of Jesus. By the power that raised Jesus back to life, I prophesy, step into overflowing blessings.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sagon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.